These are the first seven verses of the book of Proverbs, which is in effect the sort of title page and the preface. It outlines the purpose of the Proverbs. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David and king of Israel. For learning about wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for gaining instruction in wise dealing, righteousness, justice, and equity, for teaching shrewdness to the simple, knowledge and prudence to the young. Let the wise also hear and gain in learning, and the discerning acquire skill, to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that you speak to us and that you guide us. Holy Spirit, come now and open our hearts that we may hear from you, that we would meet with you, be challenged by you, for your glory. Amen. In reception, my kids came back from school and they'd learned about road safety. I still found it very scary. They think they can cross the road without me. Well, they're going to have to wait till at least 16 before they do that. But surely there are things that are common sense, like not texting whilst crossing the road. How many people have ever done that? I know you have. Or maybe not texting, but checking the football scores at least. Other behaviours that are often considered sensible might be, hopefully, washing your hands after you've been to the loo, using soap, picking up after your dog, not jumping the queue, especially not at airport. Or how about some common sense bin etiquette? Don't overfill your bins. Don't put rubbish in your neighbor's bin, even if they've not got a full bin. Put your bin out on the correct day and then put it away after it's been emptied. I wonder how many of your neighbors lack common sense. Or perhaps you do too. If you do a web search on common sense, wisdom, good judgment, or similar terms, you get such a variety of results. You get, obviously, opinions about Brexit, the Irish backstop, which I've really tried to understand but can't, border control, articles pop up about diet, exercise, health and safety. And web searches from America covers topics like gun laws and wall building. Now, there might be some behavior, some common sense, good judgment that the majority of people agree with, but ultimately I think that our values and our individual agendas will reflect what we think is the sensible and wise thing to do. So, at the moment, we're working through a sermon series called Guided by God. And Bev has previously looked at how the Holy Spirit guides us. Mike's looked at how we're guided through Scripture, how we're guided by each other. And this morning, we're looking at how God guides us by giving us wisdom, his good judgment, his common sense, if you like. Like me this morning, have you ever got dressed, then got undressed, and got dressed again, and then maybe a couple more times because you just can't decide what to wear? Please say you have. Go on. I'm going to start to ask for actual congregation participation if you don't laugh at my jokes. Life is full of big decisions, like which shade of grey tights you wear. Like, where should I live? Where should I work? Where should I study? What should I study? Who should I marry? How do I best raise my children? Then there are the everyday decisions. How and where do I shop? How do I travel? How do I recycle? How do I spend my money and my time? But most important are perhaps the unconscious decisions we make all the time. We might not even consider them decisions or choices. But our immediate reactions in a certain situation, how we speak of others, how we treat those around us, who we befriend and who we avoid, who we value, what we browse on the internet, what voices and media we allow to influence us, how we react to fear, failure, or success. Life is full of decisions and choices, and we often search for guidance and answers, at least I do. And at some point in life, I believe all of us will come to a time of searching and looking at big life questions like, who am I? What am I like? Is there a plan? Is there a purpose for me? What does God want me to do with my life? What's the point of my being here? And often these questions arise out of a desire to be happy, to feel that we are needed and valued and have a sense of purpose, of value, and a reason for being here. I found an article from a woman's magazine asking its reader the following. Are you feeling lost? 7 steps to finding direction and purpose in life right now. And here are some of the steps that you could take towards finding this purpose. 1, I think this would be scary if I did this. Be the highest expression of yourself. Find what lights you up. Think super small. Find your learning style. There isn't anything particularly wrong at all about these bits of advice, but when we're looking at guidance from a Christian perspective, ultimately something's lacking in those bits of advice. Because the purpose and the meaning for our existence and our lives are not found in enjoyment, ticking off a bucket list, having visited all the continents, found our soulmate, having had children, succeeding at work, or even in wealth or good health. When you were 5, what did you want to be when you grew up? You don't need to answer, but perhaps you wanted to be a professional footballer. Someone in my household wants to be. And it's not my child. Superhero? Someone in my household thinks it's fun. Sorry, princess. Pop star, famous. Now, I mean, that's what I call vision. And God has just as exciting plans for you as you did when you were 5. Maybe slightly different, but still very exciting. God has a vision for you. The Bible tells us that God has a purpose and a plan for you, for your life, for my life. When God called the prophet Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. God knows you better than you know yourself. And he had a purpose for your life before you were even conceived. And in Jeremiah, God goes on and he says, I know the plans I have for you. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. To give you a hope and a future. God's plans for us are good. Really, really, really good. In Ephesians, Paul continues to explain God's purposes for us. And he writes, we're God's handiwork. Have you ever made something with your hands that you're really proud of? We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. The Bible tells us that our purpose in life is to live in friendship, in close relationship with God, to worship Him, to serve Him, and to become more like Christ. So our purpose is to live in friendship with God, to worship him, serve him, and to become more like his son. So when we look at guidance and direction in life, we need to do so in the context of God's purpose for us and for his world. Our reading this morning from Proverbs is a wonderfully practical book dealing with the art of living. And it gives advice on all kinds of skills for a godly life. It teaches us about relationships, family life, how to conduct business, how to approach your work. My dad told me to never put my hands in my pocket when I was at work. Good advice. Not straight from the book of Proverbs, though. Sorry. How to treat the poor, and not chew chewing gum at work. How to treat the poor and the elderly. How to judge fairly. How to lend, how to borrow, how to spend your money. The book of Proverbs is for attaining wisdom, understanding, and insight. And it's here to teach us how to live a disciplined and prudent life. So our passage this morning will help us to understand some of these phrases that I've been throwing about, like good sense, judgment, good knowledge, wisdom, common sense. Because I think sometimes these concepts seem elusive. Is it all just a matter of opinion? Or is there a wisdom from God? And in these few verses, I think that these words and concepts are given clarity and a definition. If we start looking at the word wisdom, for example, this is something I've read by other clever people, but apparently the root of the Hebrew word carries several nuances. So within that word, wisdom, we find words like insight, understanding, good judgment. Wisdom being the ability to discern between good and evil. It's about knowledge and discretion, not to be used in a corrupt way for my own ends, but to do what is just and fair. Wisdom is to be informed, to take the trouble to be informed, to see the dangers ahead and to plan realistic and accordingly. Wisdom is to have insight into a situation and figure out how to respond. This sounds rather mundane and ordinary, doesn't it? But surely it's in the ordinary and the everyday that we need God's guidance. If we get God's wisdom, we will be able to make right decisions that honor him. Unfortunately, for us maybe, God's wisdom sometimes looks different to the wisdom of this world and to sometimes even what we think is wisdom. To be wise will mean to stand out and to be different. And I know this is something that we all find hard, some more than others. This is what a 104-year-old woman said when she was asked, what is the best thing about being 104? She answered, there is no peer pressure. In verse 3, it says that wisdom, the wisdom of God, is for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair. That's reading from the NIV. So in the NRSV it says, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. This tells us that the best way of living is not necessarily determined by what will serve me best. Wisdom doesn't mean putting my finances, my business first. Doesn't mean putting my happiness or not even the happiness of my children first. Wisdom is to live a life that is right, just, and fair. God's wisdom, I don't know if you've spotted this, but it looks very much like Jesus. Love your enemy, honor your parents, be faithful to your spouse, pay your taxes, don't steal, give generously to the poor. Look after the lonely and the sick. You might agree with me that this is costly and demanding, but it will affect our lives in a positive way. When we open ourselves up to God's wisdom, we start to live the kind of life that He has purposed for us, that He's planned for us. And this is the only course of action. This is the only direction that leads to life. Do you ever wonder how to gain wisdom, insight, understanding, and good judgment? Perhaps you often wonder how your spouse might gain wisdom, insight, and good judgment. Surely there isn't anything mysterious and complicated about it. If you're willing to listen to others, learn from your experiences, will that not make you wise? Well, to some degree, will. But the wisdom of God goes deeper. It's a mystery. It's not something we can gain by ourselves. Only God can give it to us. Jesus' brother James wrote this: "If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all. Doesn't matter how clever you are, how long you went to school for, how well spoken you are. God will give His wisdom to anyone who asks for it. To become godly wise, we need to pray and ask God to give us His wisdom." The other clue to becoming godly wise is in verse 7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." When I was a teenager, I lived in a small village, and every day I would take the bus into town, and inscribed on an old building that served as a sixth form college was, it was really funny seeing loads of teenagers, the way they behave, and on the top of the building it said, "Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." It's extraordinary anyway to find a Bible verse inscribed on a building in Sweden, and it was quite striking, and it was on a major bus route, and one day my friend asked me, he wasn't a Christian, and he challenged me and said, "Well, that doesn't sound very nice at all. Why should I be afraid of God? Why would I want to be involved with a God that I should be afraid of?" And I thought, well, I suppose that could be the most obvious way to understand that verse. But actually, it's much more nuanced than that. Because the fear of the Lord doesn't mean cowering in terror before a threat. Instead, it means a loving reverence before God. It means respect and submission to His lordship over us. Because the way to become godly wise, the way to gain His good sense, His judgment, is not about a method, a right method, or a certain way of thinking. The path to wisdom is about a right relationship with God. Because to search for wisdom, God's wisdom, is to actually search for God Himself. And this begins when we first become Christians. When we acknowledge that Jesus is our Lord, we receive His Spirit, and we begin that journey of being renewed by Him and to be transformed into His likeness. And then as we continue in our discipleship of Jesus, we continue on this path of devotion and worship. Am I watching daily at the gates for the King to ride through? Am I the lover and suitor yearning for a glimpse of my beloved? Am I teachable, open to correction and discipline? Have I submitted all of my will to God's command? It's in this attitude of worship, seeking the Lord and His face and His words, that we will receive the skills we need for a godly life and become wise. Let me ask you, what will be the first step for you seeking God's wisdom? Do you need to turn to God for the first time and say, "Yes, I want to acknowledge your lordship over my life? If that's you, then God welcomes you. And remember, you've taken the first step to gain God's wisdom. Perhaps you've been a follower of Christ for many years, but you're struggling to follow his ways. Perhaps you don't want to be different. You want to fit in. You're not alone. Most of us feel that way. The Holy Spirit wants to give you courage and strength. You want to live a life filled with godly wisdom, but temptation, sin, and the world is such a strong force, and you're struggling to keep them at bay. Perhaps you're enjoying the rewards of having done something you know wasn't quite honest. Maybe you're tempted to look outside of your marriage. Perhaps boredom, tension, greener pastures have made you consider your options. Perhaps you're struggling with staying healthy, eating well, and exercising and honoring God with your body that way. Can I please encourage you not to give up? God never gives up on us. Believe me, I know he is well practiced in forgiveness, second chances, and loving patience. God's wisdom is costly, but it will allow us to fulfill that wonderful purpose and the good plans that God has for us and for our lives. So why not begin small? Begin with a prayer. God will give you his wisdom. And then ask the Holy Spirit to give you strength and courage. And remember that God gives to anyone, and he gives generously. Amen.